You're listening to Fakeologist 55, where we go over the week's Fakeologist news in just 55 minutes. If you'd like to support independent media such as this, please consider a small PayPal subscription at fakeologist.com. Now, here are your hosts, Aberrato and Faye. Hello, everybody. It is Wednesday, May 16th, year of our Lord 2018. We're starting the show at 8:16 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. And that means we go for 55 minutes, a short, less than an hour period of time. And that also means the show finishes at 9:11, which, of course, is the reason for the blog, fakeologist.com, which is possibly the only site that describes 9/11 as the biggest military media hoax of all time. We've been consistent in our message. It has been going on since 2012, and this year this period of time, we're reincarnated this radio broadcast that has almost 200 episodes now, with just this brief little show, with a super fakeologist fan and a contributor to the site in so many ways, Faye. Hi, Faye.
Hello, Ab, and hello, everybody. This was a very full week, full of events and full of comments and topics on the Fakeologist website, full of happenings in the world that deserve our analysis. And maybe we have enough time today to tip upon some of these topics.
Yes, we like to just touch on stuff. I don't want to get stuck on any one topic. The only criteria for this show, which is unlike many shows, is almost everything we talk about is related to the website, fakeologist.com, where we believe, or many people believe and have in common anyway. We don't have the same belief system. None of us do. We're not a club. We don't have membership in the sense that we all have to adhere to the same way of thinking. But most of us believe that most of the major media are staged events. They are fake stories, not fake because we're politically against them. It's just most of the stories are invented by the intelligence communities around the world and fed to the media, which is beholden to the defense industry, and therefore are just simply propaganda outlets, just like everyone thinks Russia has always been, or Eastern Europe, or all the countries behind the Iron Curtain. We all agree, because we are told and have been told this most of our lives, those of us that are around 40 or 50 or 60, that the Eastern Bloc, all their information was simply propaganda. So we believe it's possible, but none of us in the Western world really believe that the media here is simply making up stuff to propaganda us. That's one thing that most people just don't believe, because they think our media is independent and not beholden to anyone, and therefore they are the fourth estate keeping the government in check. But I don't think that's ever been the case, and we are just another version of the media. They admit they only have one central media in the old Eastern Bloc. I guess that's what it was called. Is that right, Faye?
Yes. I think, yes, I think we could also use the term a Stalinistic model for the West. And if one wants to philosophize, as one of my beloved philosophers does, Boris Groys, he says the Stalinist project did not end. It maybe just took a break in order to expand all over the world. Maybe It was an experiment. We don't know. We know that from historical research that both models of governance and economy were actually co-created. And
yes, I think they could have easily been created in parallel. And maybe they didn't know how each one was going to unfold, in the sense they were just experiments. And they figure whichever one worked out the best, they got that they could extract the most amount of work out of people, resources, and keep the people at the bottom happiest. Maybe they figured that was the model they were going to just expand around the world. And I don't think the communist system works because, well, for all the reasons that have probably been explained for a long time since communism, quote-unquote, collapsed in the 1980s, because if you don't pay people that are willing to do the work more than the people that just sit around and suck off the system, then in the end, nobody does anything. And I think that's easy to see how that can't work.
Yeah, it was not according to the theory, but that's a long discussion because actually communism is not based on, let's say, the payment or non-payment, but it's the difference between the ownership of the means of production. That's the correct definition, let's say.
Okay.
That we don't have such an experiment yet. Maybe I believe that ownership is important. We know that just from anthropological observations that if you don't own something, you don't take care of it. If it doesn't belong to anyone, it's not taken care. So yeah, it's a big discussion. And you had today Putin on the Fakeologist website, who created a bridge.
That's right. And let me just play a little bumper because we're sort of going on to another topic. Well, yes, I put a post that Russia built a bridge to Crimea. It was really, I guess, just I guess they said it's a 12-mile bridge or whatever number you want to believe, but I think it's a bridge that connects a landmass to another landmass that connects Russia proper to the peninsula of Crimea, which Crimea, and I hardly know this, seems to be a peninsula that comes off of the Ukraine. And he just built, or they built, obviously it was in the planning for a long time, a link to Crimea from Russia. And we're told that Russia annexed Crimea against their will. They weren't interested. But to me, it sounds a lot like how when they divided Germany up after World War I and left a huge island of Germans stranded in, I believe, Gdansk area in Poland and the newly created division. Then basically Hitler tried to build a line to save rescue the Germans from the Polish oppression. And maybe this is sort of the same thing that's happening in Crimea, that they're just Russians there and they don't really want to be part or away from Mother Russia.
I have no opinion on that topic. That's too complicated.
But
there are so many difficult situations the last years with snipers attacks on the Maidan and a referenda that were not accepted by the West.
Yeah.
And American, I don't know.
But that's not really why I posted it. I didn't really post it for that. I like the video that the Washington Post, which is owned by Amazon and Jeff Bezos, were told. I just like playing what appears to be regular Americans and regular Russians, what they think of each other. And it seems like nothing has changed. In this age of information, which is fascinating to me, we have so many ways we can call Russia for free. We could talk to Russians if they could understand English. And I believe probably most of the young ones do understand English because they know it's the language of the internationalists. But it's just amazing how people just buy into the stereotypes, the propaganda. Even today, they have no idea what Russians are like, and Russians don't really have, they probably have more of an idea what Americans are like. But they just believe these phony stories about how Russia took over American voting machines in every state and influenced the elections to the extent that it even matters. Yeah, let's play a bit. The Post asked Americans what questions they had for Russians ahead of their March 18th election. Americans wanted to know about daily life, rigged elections, and Russian President Vladimir Putin. Here's how Russians answered.
It seems like it's kind of a cold and closed off and kind of unknown place, and it seems a little like dangerous and mysterious, and I wonder if that is like more of a stereotype or what it's actually like when you are in Russia.
And it's funny because he said it's a stereotype. No, it's propaganda. that's really what it is. I think the only true thing that you can say about Russia is probably a lot like Canada. It's damn cold most of the year. I think that is true. And there's lots of evidence, video evidence, that it is cold, there's snow, and I buy that one. But this Russian is saying, I'll do the translation, this is a stereotype, there's nothing dangerous here, there are regions where it's warm and nice.
I'd like to know the average Russian citizen thinks about the election process that they are now going through. Do they feel that it is a free and fair process, that all the legitimate candidates have fair access to the ballot?
In principle, they're free because on the one hand, no one is restricted in anything. On the other hand, we don't have a real choice. There's no strong politician competition that could be a real competitor against the current president.
What is your perception of Putin?
It's generally a negative perception. Usually what I see is it's negative. He's associating with other world leaders that aren't in support of peace.
That he is an autocrat and a dictator.
He is simply a person defending his own motherland. He has no claim on anyone as an invader. He doesn't want this. So there's no point in fearing Putin. He is the only person on planet Earth who tells the truth. I'll leave it at that. I kind of like that part. That's kind of funny, but
yeah. Do you speak Russian?
Yes, pretty good, eh? No, there actually are subtitles.
Okay.
Can you imagine if I spoke Russian? I'd be calling Russia every day trying to get an interview with the various people.
With Putin, of course.
I'd love to. Putin speaks perfect English, and the point there is that
yes, not he, so perfect. You know, they prepare always.
Well, I think he has a very good English, non-Russian sounding accent. I played that on this blog before, and the idea that he's the enemy is totally ridiculous. They are just
the enemy, of course.
They all work together on the top. The elite do, so they have no problem allowing this dialectic of them being the enemy. This is great business in every way for them. It's, we need an enemy. There's no need
They have some, you know, they have competitions and alliances and such kind of troubles. For example, Russia is together in bed with Israel because of this Belt and Road project.
That's an oil pipeline. Yeah.
No, that's not a pipeline. That's a Trans-Siberian that goes through from Beijing.
Okay.
Through all the South countries, India, etc., Pakistan, Afghanistan, Syria, etc., to Hamburg in Germany.
All right. Is that a rail line?
It's a rail line. It's the biggest project of this century.
And how is Israel involved?
Israel is part of the project.
Okay.
They are involved financially and they are cooperating with China and Russia and England in that project. This is not on the representation level they are enemies, but on the financial level, on the project level, they spy against each other to get the secrets of the agreements and to overrun a competitor. Business as usual.
It's business. All right, let's move.
Okay,
what I told you earlier off the air, I told you that it's fine for you to read the comments because there's so many good comments that get buried in the website and it's not easy for people to navigate. And I don't know if you're doing it or not, but I really recommend people use RSS feeds to read the blog. I have people that complain the blog is too slow, which I agree with. I'm not too sure how to speed it up other than to pay for a very expensive server for it. But you can read everything and not miss a thing through the RSS feeds. And there's a program called Feedly.com. And you can bring all the feeds, all the comments, and all the posts. And you can also bring all the forum posts, which are just general posts that people can start, feed or links or threads people can start on fakeologist.com forums. You can read everything fast, and it comes fast as just text, no graphics, on your phone or on your web, on your desktop computer. It's a great way to read it, and you won't miss a thing. And I really recommend people just use Feedly.com and click the links on the right side of Fakeologist.com to bring in the messages. So even if we talk about nothing else, I really want people to understand how they can really make use of this website and not worry about it being too slow, because all the data is served on other platforms. Have you tried it at all, Feedly?
I use it every day now since I got it from you. Thank you.
Okay.
It's really, it's a difference because you have all the comments also with the right timing, one yeah. after another. You don't have to search who answered to whom, mm-hmm. under which date, etc. But I think it's also a matter of the amount of material that is there. For example, I remember now that there was a dispute in one post between Vespa Douglas and Hoipoloi.
Yes.
And I don't remember now which post was it, so that I can find these comments again.
Well, you can click, yeah. you can click any entry in the Feedly feed. You can click on the title, it'll bring you to the website. It'll bring you right into the website, right to the post.
Yeah, that's true.
You can always click in. And yeah, Vespa Douglas, you should come on the audio chat because he's a pretty big critic. He was saying, and I didn't reply to it because I don't really get too involved in who's a shill and who's not, but he was saying that he thinks the site's been infiltrated. Well, if you look at it that way, the site has been infiltrated by shills from day one. If you think a shill is someone you don't, just because they don't agree with, it's been infiltrated since day one. And I have a more liberal attitude, more laissez-faire attitude towards the blog. If someone's really, obviously wrong or you don't agree with it, they're going to expose themselves. If you think Dave J is a shill, then he'll expose himself to you. And you don't have to worry about, I'm not going to censor people unless they're just totally ignorant and totally off topic. Other than that, I really let people see what people are about. I don't usually ban people, maybe the odd person. But overall, I think we can all intelligently react and reply to these people and not have to worry about them. They're not wrecking or disrupting the site. I think everyone here is really smart and they can figure out who's on point and who's not.
Yes, I found it strange because Vespa Douglas didn't answer to Hoipoloi. And I would think that Hoipoloi deserves an answer when he asks something, just generally.
It's a common tactic. It doesn't matter if it's Fakeology or any other topic. If someone asks you a question and they don't reply and just go on another topic, then they're just avoiding the topic. And you might have to ask 10 times to get an answer. And this goes for every debate. If someone doesn't want to answer and they want to deflect or misdirect, they just answer any other question they want to and that has nothing to do with the original question. So it's a pretty common tactic.
Okay. I cannot find the comment now. I don't remember which was the post. I can't find it. But I have another one that I found very interesting.
Okay. Play a bumper. I'm just trying to make it clear that we're sort of changing topics every 5 minutes, but go ahead.
Okay. I thought now is your turn.
Okay. No, you wanted to say your, go ahead with your comment. You had a comment.
Yes. It's just, the Radio Rolo, the last yep. show that you did with
FAC 465.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. FAC 465.
I was going to bring that up too, and it's got 24
really?
Replies. 24
exactly.
replies.
So let's talk together about it. For yes. me, it was very interesting to see the discussion about the Bali bombing.
Yes.
Because first of all, it was one of the very big events after 9/11, very close to 9/11.
One of the biggest.
Yes, one of the biggest. And we had not even integrated in the list of SIOs in the Fecopedia. It was completely forgotten.
Yeah, well, it just shows you there's too many. There's so many.
Yes, there's so many. And it is a very important one also because it transfers to the continent, the whole continent, all the pattern of 9/11 with the big narrative, mm-hmm. many victims, anti-Muslim Al-Qaeda narrative, all this, which I cannot analyze now so quickly. And I just started to read through the comments, and there were important infos. And Xylophilex has announced that he's going to start a thread also to discuss about a victim or an alleged victim that Ricky brought into the debate, questioning himself also if the story was true, because he knew someone, Steve Webster by the name, who has a concrete story, who has met Ricky in California, or I don't remember.
Yeah, it's the surfer, the so-called surfer community, yes.
And the story is that these surfer communities, as well as other, let's say, club-style communities, for example, motorbike communities or cultural with music affiliated communities, etc., or sports also, are quite, are good for finding potential victims for future psyops. It's a good surrounding.
Yeah, and this all came up because Esoteric 64, who I believe has left the Discord server, and what is the Discord server? Fakeologist.com/audio chat. You can join. It's free. It's another platform where you can freely chat, voice, and text. Feel free to join. There's no obligation. There's no money exchange. And Rick, Exoteric 64, was on the audio chat. He came on at Rolo's invitation. Rolo's pretty good at hosting his show. He's bringing mostly Australians, it seems, all the time, which is fine. I love Australians. And Rick was saying that he thinks it's a real event. And Rick has said that about the Sydney siege as well. And I'm not sure, and Rick is another one who doesn't like Dave J's Nobody Dies, Nobody Gets Hurt, because Rick thinks that people do die and get hurt. And he left, he's another one that left because he couldn't take the harsh approach of Dave J. But anyway, Xylophilex enjoyed the, and Felix, as we said, he enjoyed the audio chat and he listens through them. And he even is very good. He puts in timestamps, which I really appreciate. And he was bringing up the idea that Rick said there were too many witnesses and so many local people died in that one. And where are they now in Antarctica living dual lives and now getting paid by the government? What bullshit, like, fuck off. So that's a quote of Rick, Exoteric, who Rolo is a big fan of. And I'm sure Rick is a nice guy, but I'm just not sure that he understands the depth of the deception and the logistics behind it. And people don't go to Antarctica. They don't have to. They really don't, especially if they're Sims. We don't have to disappear as Sim. A Sim just is a virtual person that can disappear in a virtual world. You're never going to bump into one. And or it's easy to take live, real live, lifetime actors and make them disappear by putting a hat on, glasses, a beard. It's very easy. I've often thought, you know, we had a guy who ran our city here in Toronto called Rob Ford. And, we're told he died quite quickly of cancer and just disappeared off the scene. But, you know, do you think anyone is actually staking out or in and around his house watching to see if he's coming or going? I mean, nobody's checking that. Of course, no real person, I'm not going to go do it. Most people are not going to go do it. And if they find out that he is alive and kicking and still walking around Toronto, maybe lost 50 pounds at a fat farm, no one is going to report it. So there's no real danger, and he doesn't have to go to Antarctica, is my point. He can just live a normal life in and around here, and just a couple close people around him will know the dirty secret, that he ain't dead. So there's no need to go to Antarctica, is my point.
I have a question to that. Maybe mm-hmm. it's not the point now to discuss it in depth, but
yeah.
I think it is completely legit, because everyone has his own tempo and et cetera to realize things and to research, because these are also difficult.
Yes.
It's a big change for perception and
yes.
method of
analysis. And I have patience for people like Rick. I do.
Exactly. So
I have patience.
But is it sure that it, you know, for me, it's not sure. With Ricky, I don't know. I don't have any opinion because I didn't follow him personally. But for example, I saw that Gaia wrote on the Clues Forum in a similar discussion that I don't have now the comment complete, but I remember it out of my memory only. He said the full admission to the full psyop is his, criterion for to do this analysis. And he has changed completely his opinion now. He's against the idea of Dave J that nobody dies, nobody gets hurt in psyops. So that is not the same. That's what I mean. If Ricky is someone that has doubts in a concrete...
No, psyop. Ricky is not Rick. That's a different person, I believe.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, Ricky... is not Rick. Rick is Exoteric 64, and Exoteric 64, as far as I know, does not have an ID on fakeologist.com. He had one on the Discord server, and let me make that clear to people that they are different username systems. I can't integrate them because they're different platforms, but they're not the same person, so don't be confused about that. And I don't know what Gaia, I don't want to speak for Gaia because he's not here, and I have no idea what his position is.
It's just to say that it's a different thing to have doubts in the process of researching, and it's different to have a position and then to change the position without evaluating and making it clear that I have now changed my position because that and that and that. That would be good, I think, that to have this difference in mind.
Well, my premise is this. It's much easier to fake a death than to actually cause a real death. Real deaths cause real problems. They have real consequences. There's real criminal proceedings around them. There are real people that get involved, and people that lose people violently through death, they usually don't stay quiet. There's lawsuits. There's all kinds of real things that can occur. So if you're going to stage an event, it's much better to create victims in this case, in all cases. It's just less messy. You can control the situation. You can't control how someone's going to react. You can't control if you kill someone for realsies and that has real family members. You don't know what direction they're going to go in. You just don't know, because you and I both don't know ourselves, unless we've experienced real people and our families dying, how we'd react to a violent situation. We don't know. You know, for instance, I think for sure that if someone killed someone in my family, I would go for the death penalty, or I might go off my rocker and become a vigilante. I don't know. You don't know until it happens. We can all talk a big game beforehand, but we just don't know what we do. And the one thing that people that create these events can't have is uncertainty. We cannot, they have to control the situation perfectly, because they have to have the exact desired outcome to create the exact desired story and create the exact desired real laws. So that is why it doesn't make any sense logically to really kill people. And that is the whole thrust of this website. We really are the only ones that say that it actually is logically crazy to create real death. because it causes real big problems. And that is, if nothing, if you don't take anything else away from this chat or this website, that is the message. That's the message I like to promote.
Okay.
Let me do a bumper there. That's worth great. A 55 bumper if I ever heard one.
Great. Your position is very strong, and it is a challenge because there are many attempts, I would say, to make this difference between psyops and possibilities that are around that maybe possibly we could not know in every cases, that all this has to do with the protection of the concept of psyops, because if it becomes known in the society over a critical mass, the concept cannot work anymore. The concept works only as long as nobody suspects that it works like that. That it is all staged and it involves nobody that dies. And these attempts to destroy the mistrust that has been created since 9/11 mostly, because it was one of the biggest events,
mm-hmm.
and those who are being protected with much hoax management and productions, etc., etc. And I think that there are these attempts are, of course, ongoing, and within this atmosphere, I believe we should be very cautious how we interpret events and on ground of what. There is always, if I may expand that for a moment, there mm-hmm. is always, it goes in the direction we have to have the evidence, we have to be, let's say, legally correct. I think that is okay up to one point, but that's not the real meaning of this analysis and research that we do. It is more that we deny actually the reality that it creates, which is fake.
Uh-huh.
And we state that without going into the court, because there is no court for such
no.
events.
No,
the
it's only, not illegal to lie. It's legal to propagandize in all countries. It's not illegal, as Dave J said, to bear false witness to murder, to death. I think that's the phrase he uses. And I see the reason I don't mind Dave J being just absolutely brutal with his speech patterning and with his analysis is because there's too many people that come on to this site and they're just waffling on the idea. They're sitting on the fence. Well, maybe people die. Well, you have no proof. You don't have evidence of this. I mean, you have evidence of a staged event, and I can see how he can just be so emphatic and just so angry with people about it, because I suppose he's been doing it longer than many of us, and it's just a position of anger that he's just trying to say, listen, stop coming on here and just trying to be on the fence, because it's not helping our message, really, I think.
It's confusing more, and it's dangerous also, because it puts too much water in the wine, let's
yes.
say.
Yes, yes.
It's like as soon as you know that 9/11 was a movie production that was performed in the mass media, there is no question what is real in the movie.
Uh-huh.
The movie is a movie. You don't question the reality of a movie. And apply this to all the staged events. And if you realize, okay, I'm not sure, is it staged, is it not? Then you have to step back and say, okay, I need other, information. The narrative analysis or whatever can tell you what is this production. Is it a grassroots movement that is happening? Is it a revolution? Is it a demonstration? What is it? Mm-hmm. But if it is a staged event, there is no question You don't question a movie about its reality content.
Mm-hmm.
That's my position.
I understand why Dave J gets angry, and I understand why he lashes out, because people that have been calling themselves fakeologists, they just want to keep event after event going back to, well, it could be real. And no, I think we've shown many times over that the template is, the simplest template is to stage and simulate. It's far more efficient. It's far more controllable. It's the only guaranteed way to get a guaranteed outcome. And that, and if you want to be wishy-washy on it, there's other sites you can go to. But I believe that that's the Dave J message that, you know, and he does sometimes go into some numerology that I don't really care for or care about as much. He thinks it's important, but that's not my message that I think's important. I don't mind looking at it, but I don't think, and I'm not sure, I don't think he's deliberately doing that to obscure, but anyway, that's
awesome.
Good point. Bumpa. We got 20 minutes left. We're trying to make this a 55-minute show. We're trying to touch on a few topics. And there are hundreds of topics every week. Don't think this is it. And some of the audio chats, by the way, the one we just mentioned, the Radio Rolo one, was over 6 hours. Huge. There's lots of non-fakeologist stuff in there. That's fine. I can't edit it down. But there's lots of good stuff, and Rolo's pretty great about constantly referencing the website, fakeologist.com. And if you want to pull a Howard Stern type thing and call on other radio shows and just say fakeologist.com, that would be fine too, even if you call John Law's Rolo's Hero. So definitely get fakeologist.com in there. So that's the only website, the only thing you need to say to get people to our way of thinking.
Up.
Go ahead.
Shall we listen to that, what I found today on cluesforum.info? That was now my advertisement. Cluesforum.info.
This camera, part of a flying laboratory, is recovered by Clyde Holiday of Johns Hopkins, who prepared it for its trip to the upper stratosphere.
This is a newsreel from 1946. This is how people got their propaganda, newsreels, which are generally shown in movie theaters. That's where people saw their moving pictures before most people had a television. And this is where they got their propaganda. And this is usually military created. And I believe this newsreel is showing at least news footage from the Air Force, which is in charge of space, the whole space fake narrative. And they put this out, or put pieces of this out, and we're playing it right now. Captured V-2 German rocket. Camera films of views of Earth.
Rivaling the fantastic imagination of Jules Verne, the camera brought back a record of a flight into the heavens of a captured German...
Imagination of Jules Verne, one of the original people that created the scientific fiction called space.
V-2 rocket. At White Sands, New Mexico, the huge missile takes off. Air Force pictures show the rocket in flight, and the flying camera automatically takes over. The huge projectile drops the Earth behind at the tremendous speed of 4,000 feet per second. The rotation of the rocket causes the planet to spin before the lens, and the camera photographs the Earth 65 miles straight down. The horizon,
65, all magic numbers, by the way, so there's no evidence that any of these numbers are real, but they are strategically given for as tips to their Masonic buddies that it's all a joke.
120 miles away, and the curvature of the Earth are astonishingly apparent in this still picture from the film. An observer in the rocket could have seen San Diego, Salt Lake City, Kansas City, and San Antonio. Approximately 1,600,000 square miles of the Earth's surface was revealed. The rocket reached the 65-mile height in 3 minutes. This giant engine of destruction, designed by Hitler to annihilate allied nations, now serves the worthy cause of peacetime research.
And that film footage was 1 minute and 19 seconds, 9/11 in reverse. How about that, huh? Boy.
That, That was the answer of Flabbergasted on May 16th, 2018 to Roast Runner, who wrote on Clues Forum today, "As far as I know, this is the first official video of outer space."
Ah.
Meaning one that I have put in the live stream show notes and which you cannot play because it doesn't have any sound.
Right, okay.
It's the British Pathé, the Stargazer balloon takes off from 1962. And it is just a fantastic piece of images, of moving images, because it is so obvious that it is a fake capsule that they show in the first part of the, I don't know, 2 or 3 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and I have made a still out of it and put it also in the live stream. At 29 seconds, it is a cut to the wide shot where the capsule is shown next to a bugger, or how is that called? Crane in
right.
English. But it is not hanging on the crane.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
It is only shown as that it is a composite. Because this capsule that we see now is not the same capsule that we saw in the first sequences. It is a miniature.
Mm.
And we can see that in the film, if you watch it, exactly on this cut, you can see there are two guys under this miniature capsule that, of course, is filmed separately and put together. They stand directly under the capsule and are looking around.
I see that.
Exactly like the security or police forces, but in the staged events when they're just lazy hanging around on a Saturday afternoon in this German city.
Do they have any explanation why it's just suspended and like that? Or they admit it's a composite? Or
No, there is no comment in that small film. We cannot show it. Everyone has to see it for himself, herself.
It's in the live stream show notes, and you do have to, it looks like, I guess you have to be logged into Discord to see that. I usually cut and paste them into the show notes of this audio.
Yeah.
If you can listen to this audio live by going to fakeologist.com/SSNSam/radio2. That's my own link shortener. I don't use Bitly anymore. I'm using
my
own.
May I read a little bit also from the comment of Roast Runner? He says, "The more I think about Stargazer, the weirder it seems."
Uh-huh.
"Why is there so little information about the first video of outer space? Yes, it looks terrible, but in the pre-internet era, who would know?
Uh-huh.
Why did the Air Force Lookout Mountain use pinpricks in black construction paper for the star effects that is also shown in the movie?"
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. "Planetariums had been around since the 1920s, and the Germans had a beautiful starry sky in 1939.
Hmm.
There is a link to the Berlin Planetarium. Why
okay.
didn't they launch at night? Wouldn't that make the world's first space video a lot clearer when they go up there?"
Interesting.
These are funny questions. Yeah.
I don't know. So you think the Germans were scientifically more advanced than the entire world back in the 30s, maybe? And that's perhaps why they had to be disrupted, destroyed? Maybe they were seeking the real explanation of space at one point, and they had to be derailed and decoupled. And is there any possibility there are?
Comparison. I have not enough knowledge to make that comparison, but the German industry and technology and research institutions were partially connected to the US,
mm-hmm.
and they were also funded by US.
Okay.
Funding institutions, but I don't know, exact numbers or I don't have exact information about that comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
But do you think Germans are? Because would you say German is your primary language?
No, I'm exactly half German and Greek.
Okay.
There is no primary language.
Okay, but you understand fully German. I'm just, see, we don't get German history here, and really I'm just curious. And maybe Germans are just always been very scientifically and industrially advanced, and they just had to be kept under the Anglo-American control, really, just in case they got out of control and became very nationalistic and kept maybe all the discoveries and innovation to themselves. I don't know. It's just, it's always hard to figure out the real reason why the world wars were created to disrupt, really, maybe a very, very advanced society. Who knows where it might have advanced?
I think that the technological development was always internationalized because it depends. It depends always on many parameters. Let's say automobile industry depends on caoutchouc, and the bosses of the caoutchouc export were the Britons, but the bosses of the engineering, of the motors, etc., were the Germans. The funding was American for the motors. It's a whole study to.
Okay. So it's complicated. More. They're all intertwined, really, is what you're saying.
Yes, I think so.
Yeah, and it's always been that way.
It's
okay.
The same as today. They are together and they work together and against each other. Mm. And we have to educate them.
Well, they work together, but they try and make it appear that they're against each other, but they're always really working together.
Yes, I think so.
Well, is it my turn or your turn? Should we?
It's your turn.
Sublog, savechat.fakeologist.com. I'll just quickly reference that. Savechat.fakeologist.com, another blog in the family of fakeologist.com blogs. I just put a quick post saying that Hoaxbusters Calls is sort of crawling back into some sort of cohesive site, and they have their audios now on archive.org, and they don't come naturally or easily to the podcatcher I use on my phone, so it's just another multi-step venture to get them onto the phone and listen to them. But Chris is back, and he has an audio after a week, or a month rather, but not much fakeology there, a lot of stuff about living off the grid and whatnot, so I didn't really link to it on the main site, and that's really the only reason, because there's not a lot of fakeologist stuff involved there. So that savechat.fakeologist.com is sort of my tweeting site, where I just put little pieces that are fakeology related, and it's another site that you can bring into an RSS feed. You can make comments with your fakeologist.com account, and you can keep track of that kind of discussion as well. Do you have any? Did you listen to the last Hoaxbusters call?
Yes, I did. And actually, I was interested in it because after the first part, Kahem was there.
Oh, Kahem, yes.
Yes, and I have so much respect for Kahem because when I joined here on Discord, I thought actually I would find Hoi Polloi and Kahem. That was my impression. Because I had no idea who is connected with whom from the website.
Oh, very good, yes. Well,
and I happened to talk once or two times with her on Discord in a chat. And I have asked her once if we can do a chat about her experience with the Tychos. Because she was and is involved with the Tychos study of Simon Schack. And I cannot really understand this Tychos model and am not enough interested to learn all this new language of this, but I would like to talk with her and maybe she could explain things or tell her own experience as a mathematician and as a woman in that project. And
I just typed in, Kahem is always welcome here. Hopefully she can do a chat. Same with Hoi Polloi and Simon Schack for a Tychos.info chat. A reason I typed it like that is I wanted to see if they were still members here in the Discord server. Because what happens if you put an @ sign and their name If it doesn't pop up in a pop-up list, then that means they've signed out and exited the server and are not receiving notifications. So that's how the Discord works. So they're all active or have valid memberships on the Discord Fake Colleges server. So they hopefully will get notifications of their names and they'll come and, yeah, maybe we should do a Tycho's chat. So maybe this is an official invitation in the last 5 minutes of our show tonight where Kaham, Hoi Polloi, and Simon, we can all get together and do a chat. So that would be fantastic, I think.
And one last thing about the chat between Kaham and Chris. The last part was quite interesting. It was very theoretical and abstract and not about fakeology, but it was still interesting. It was about, let's say, the big plan or where is it going, the situation. And it was about transhumanism.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that a very interesting point. And unfortunately, the chat ended when it just became so interesting.
Oh, yes. It suddenly just ended on my phone. Is that what happened on your end? It just disappeared? Yes. No sign off, no editing, no the show is over. Yeah. I've only made that mistake a couple times and I always go back and fix it later when I hear that I forget to put the ending. It's very important with an audio. You need to put a bumper at the front and the back so people know when it's over. So otherwise you think, oh, maybe the download didn't work or got cut off on my phone or device. So yeah, there's a little tip to anyone who's doing broadcasts. You really have to tidy them up so they end properly and of course begin properly. And of course that's what we try and do here on the fakeologist.com, fakeologist 55. We're only got 55 minutes. We're down. We got a few minutes left. 9:11 is when this ends. I'll do a quick bumper. 55! We have a few live listeners tonight on the radio broadcast on the worldwide streaming service. Not too many.
Not too many. Okay.
We've got.
I don't see it. Yeah.
We've got three or four. Maybe I'll just finish. There's so many posts on fakeologist.com. I'll just say that Simon, since we're talking about Simon, and Simon was talking about how Clues Forum has been really quiet in the last, 6 months easily. And that's because he's been busy with his Tycho's.info, which is his explanation of the solar system. And I think its main thrust is it explains the retrograde or backwards motion of certain lights in the sky, including Mars, and it's a great explanation according to him. But one thing, and I just said to Simon in this post that, you know, I'll still always be grateful for Simon for just having the Clues Forum that really explains 9/11 in a way that it really brought it all together for me. Maybe it wasn't clearly laid out in September Clues, but for me, the forum, just reading the post, I didn't have to read that many, really brought it home to me and really made me want to just create a website where I just hopefully fully explain what he was trying to get at with September Clues. So I just basically said I'm forever grateful, and it doesn't matter what he does in future, whether he's right or wrong, whether I agree with him or not. No one can take away the work of September Clues. And because of that, I've mirrored most of the important videos, most of the site, and you'll find the links at the top of my website under the heading September Clues Tour Guide, where I have FakeTube hosting the videos so they won't disappear unless I disappear. And that was the point of that. But I always liked Simon's posts, no matter what he talks about when it comes to fakery. He's just so clear, so cutting, so sarcastic, and just so disdainful of the network, as he calls it. I really, really always enjoy his posts and just his little gifts that he creates out of videos. And that's why I just posted forever grateful to him. So hopefully we'll tell him in person if he does come by for the Tycho's.info discussion.
I agree completely that you wrote there, and I couldn't say it better. For sure I couldn't say it better. Yeah.
Well, you could probably say it better in German or Greek. Yes. Do you have anything, could you say a few words in Greek about it and maybe a few sentences in German and we can wrap it up there? Because there are Germans that must want to listen to this Fakeologist broadcast and maybe some Greeks.
Greeks, I don't believe so, but Germans, there are some Germans around, I think. Okay.
There's millions of Germans and millions of Greeks. What is the population?
Yes. 11. It's 11.
Well,
Simon,
what,
we thank you in every language.
Just say it. We got a few seconds. Close it out. Say a few words to Simon in German and Greek.
Okay, I'll try it.
Go for it.
Simon, σε ευχαριστούμε πάρα πολύ για όλη τη δουλειά που έκανες, για την υπόθεση της 11ης Σεπτέμβρη, χωρίς την εργασία τη δικιά σου που έκανες με το September Clues, δεν θα είχαμε κανένα αποδεικτικό στοιχείο ότι τα διεθνή μέσα ενημέρωσης είναι αυτά τα οποία συνεργάστηκαν συντονισμένα για να μας παρουσιάσουν σαν γεγονός ένα τελείως φανταστικό σενάριο το οποίο δεν έλαβε ποτέ χώρα στην πραγματικότητα.
Was that Greek?
That was Greek.
And a little German?
Hey, it's 12. We are too late.
Okay.
German also.
Next show. We'll do it next show. All right. Thank you, Faye. We'll see you next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Come here often and enjoy the show.
Bye-bye.